Turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts 26. Acts 26. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Should take that long. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused to the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, under which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible of you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of the things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which was sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. This world's never been able to explain the Apostle Paul. Why was he great? He was a great man, but the world doesn't seem to quite understand how or why his powerful influence. He certainly did not have personal charm. I'm fully convinced of that. It is said of him, his letters, say they, are weighty, powerful, but his bodily presence is weak. Paul had some sort of problem in the flesh. And I like to read the touching account of this in the book of Galatians 4:13. Paul says, you see how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you, At the first, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel or a messenger. As an angel or a messenger, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then that the blessedness ye spake of? I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. This has in it a strong suggestion that Paul could well have had some sort of eye trouble that was painful and loathsome, so that he did not have a good personal appearance. He was not good to look upon. He was not a handsome man. And evidently he was not an outstanding speaker. His enemies said of him, his speech is contemptible. So evidently he was not a great speaker. He was not eloquent. It was not his learning, and he was a very learned man. It was not his learning that made him great. Paul was educated, but he never made a display of his education. And he says concerning his preaching, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing or persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul didn't seem to glory in any of his accomplishments. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Another thing about Paul, he didn't have any political pull at all, not even enough to keep out of jail. With politics on our mind, that ought to mean a little bit to us. He didn't have any political pull at all. Measured by modern standards of what a preacher should be or a pastor should be, this man would, he'd be classed a failure. And yet, he was not a failure. He was not a failure. He's left his marks. He's left his life stamped indelibly upon history. On the road to Damascus, he met the Lord, and he was never the same again. All the pain and persecution that came his way did not swerve him from his line of duty. There's no way to defeat a man like the Apostle Paul. If you put him in jail, he'd pray down an earthquake, burden him with a thorn in the flesh, and then he glories in his infirmities or weaknesses. And pass the death sentence on him, and he just cries out and says, to die is gain. No way to head him off, cut his head off. I mean, he's just not to be defeated. I think that is somewhat an explanation of his greatness. I think it's pretty well summed up when Paul said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I submitted to God. Paul saw the Lord. He actually saw the Lord. And there can be no Christian message, no Christian man, no Christian ministry, unless that person has seen the Lord. Job saw the Lord. I don't know exactly in what sense, but it says in Job 42, 5 and 6, mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Quite a different reaction from the fellows now that you read about that say they've seen the Lord. They shout it from the housetop. They put it in the paper. They're really big shots. I've seen the Lord. I've talked with the Lord. I'm afraid of people like that. John saw the Lord and fell at his feet as one dead. Isaiah saw the Lord, he said in Isaiah 6, saw him high and lifted up, and it brought conviction. He said, "Woe is me." Let me tell you, friend, the closer you get to God, the more you see your own imperfections. When you stand off from God and stand in the shadows, it's pretty easy to pass over a lot of imperfections. It also brought individual guilt to the prophet. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. It brought collective guilt. He said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I once read about a woman who was known for her white washings. She gloried in washing her clothes so white. But one day she put them on the line while the snow was on the ground. And against the background of the snow, they just didn't look as white as usual. You know, with all the dirty lives about us, we work up a pretty good opinion of ourselves. But when we stand up against the background of God's holiness, we see ourselves as we really are. And we do not glory in ourselves when we see God. Isaiah's vision brought cleansing. Thine iniquity is taken away. I think today many people are whitewashed instead of washed white. I think a lot of people are starched in iron in the pride of their own self-righteousness. We live in a shallow generation where people don't know a whole lot, have not come to grapple with eternal matters. They know little of conviction and repentance, regeneration, new birth. Very often, in many institutions, preachers are dealt with simply as professionals. Someone might ask, well, didn't you make a choice? Aren't you preaching by choice? Yes, but I'm preaching by God's choice, not mine. It was not my choice to preach. It was God's choice. And I'm glad it's that way. Many people wonder about what they're supposed to do in life. I've never had that problem since God called me to preach. I've always known what I was supposed to do. And it's a good feeling. It's good to know that you can be in the will of the Lord. Many churches are filled with unregenerate people. People who've never known the Lord. Signed a card, walked down the aisle. Please, folks, if you're not saved, don't join a church. An unsaved person in a church doesn't have as good a chance of being saved as one outside a church. But I fear sometimes under my ministry, many people have come into the church unsaved, in spite of all that can be said and done. After Paul met the Lord, he went to work for the Lord. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And after we see God, we begin to see other things about us differently. When we begin to see God, we begin to see sin as it is, that deadly, destructive thing. We begin to see the wicked world system for what it is. We begin to see our Adamic nature as having no good in it, and we have no confidence in it. We began to see the devil for what he is. The vision of Isaiah brought a call. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the question came, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he answered with consent. He answered with a surrendered will. Here am I, send me. After we've begun to see God, we see a lot of other things in a different way. We begin to see things in their naked color. I think many of us claim that we've seen the Lord. Not like Paul, but we've met the Lord in salvation. We've been born again. We're children of God. And I think many that have said, I've met the Lord, I'm acquainted with Him. Maybe you've not settled in your mind to do the will of God. Now you can be saved, know Jesus Christ as Savior, and yet not know Him as Lord. Not know Him as the Lord of your life. Have you faced the will of the Lord in your life? Have you asked God what He would have you do? God has a work for all of us. In Mark 13:34, it says, the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work. And so there's a work for all of us to do. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, when we come down to the end of this journey we call life, we could say with all sincerity, as our Savior said, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Paul said, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Would that we could say, I have glorified God in my life. I have done what He has asked me to do. Are you where God wants you to be? That's a good question to ask. If you are where God wants you to be, you can count on His protection and His provision. But if you're not doing what God wants you to do, I don't know how much you can count on that. Take the prophet that was told, Elijah was told to go to Cherith and hide by the brook. And the Lord said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, I don't think he meant somewhere else. But as long as Elijah was there, the ravens would care for him. He was told to go to Zarephath, said, I've commanded a widow to feed you there. If we're where God wants us to be, then God will provide and protect and empower. Paul saw the Lord. Paul served the Lord. And Paul finally realized a happy victory. As he comes down near the end, he said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So Paul came down to victory. You know, it might have looked like Paul was defeated, a victim of circumstances. See him as he stands before King Nero. Paul's an old man, broken, cold, forsaken by his earthly friends. I like to read 2 Timothy 4:13. Where Paul talks about it. He said, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." But he says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. All others left me," he said, "but the Lord stayed with me and strengthened me." Historians are prone to praise King Nero and have pity for the Apostle Paul. I believe it was Vance Havner said it's good observation to make that people now call their sons Paul and their dogs Nero. And so Paul won victory after all. You know, if we're really used of God, there's two surrenders in our lives. You have to surrender to God in order to be saved. You got to stack arms and give up on God's terms. You must come to God recognizing your sinfulness, your unworthiness, your helplessness, and seek the mercy of God. Put your trust, your faith, your confidence, commit yourself without reservation into the hands of the Lord. It is a surrender. Surrendering of our will to God's will. God's willing, when we're willing, why, the two wills come together and wonderful things happen. There's a second surrender, and many people never make it. And that's the surrender to serve God. You can be a backslider and do that. I mean, a respectable backslider. Just go to church every time the door's open. There's more to it. There are other times, other days. You're not here very long. It's easy to get up and say you love the Lord. It's easy to talk to your friends. But what about the people out around us that need our care and our concern? There must be a surrender to do the will of God, to have a caring, compassionate heart. I love the song, "I Surrender All." All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. May God help us to do that very thing. Paul said, "I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Have you gotten acquainted with the Lord? Have you met Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him in service? Have you made God's will your will? If not, do it today. God will bless you now and in the ages to come.